Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight has been a teacher for 19 years and has taught grade school in the Detroit Public Schools for the last 10. She teaches fifth graders at Jamison Elementary, and out of 97,000 eligible teachers, was recently named the 2006-2007 Michigan Teacher of the Year. It's the first time in 21 years that a Detroit public school teacher has been awarded this honor. Her name, Kimberly Kipp, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Kimberly Kipp, the 2006-2007 Michigan Teacher of the Year. Kim, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Can you start by telling us about your childhood and your parents?
I grew up in Bloomfield and went to Bloomfield schools. I have a younger brother. He's 7 years younger than I am. And a pretty traditional childhood. My mother was a teacher. My grandmother was a teacher. And I was sort of indoctrinated in education at a very, very young age. It was always something of primary importance in our household.
What did your dad do and what did he teach you?
My father was a stockbroker, and he taught me the importance of honesty and in working hard to develop into a well-rounded individual. He was a good father. Of course, in that time, fathers worked a lot, and he did work quite a bit.
Did you always want to become a teacher? And how did you become a teacher?
When I was younger, that is what I definitely wanted to do. But then during that time, a lot of different things were opening up for women that hadn't been open to women before. And I began to think that, well, being a teacher, because that's such a traditional woman's profession, would be a cop-out to the gender or something like that. So I began exploring other careers. But the more I thought about it and the more I looked into different careers, they didn't make me happy. What made me happy was I enjoy working with children. And I realized that if I have to go to work every day, I want to do something that doesn't feel like work. It's something that I get up every day and I enjoy doing. And that's what education is to me.
Some people might think that a teacher does the same thing every day. You say no 2 days are alike.
Nope. They're never the same, because children are never the same. And the things that happen in the classroom are never the same. You want to have consistency in the classroom, but you also want to have spontaneity and be able to go with those feelings of spontaneity and let the lessons develop from there. No day is ever the same. That's what makes it so exciting.
When we were young, every day in school was the same. The nun would send us to the principal's office every day. Kim, what makes a great teacher?
There are a lot of things that make a great teacher. One of the most important things is a great teacher. All the great teachers I know, they're enthusiastic and they're passionate about what they do. They're always investigating and looking into new things or trying something new in the classroom. They have a very thorough knowledge of their subjects and what they're teaching, and look for new ways to present that make it more relevant to the students. They have high expectations for themselves as well as for the students they're teaching. Because if you don't have a high expectation for yourself as a teacher, it isn't going to hold out when you're trying to demand more of your students if you're not demanding the same of yourself. they have respect. They have respect for their students. They have respect for their parents. They have respect for the community. They have respect for themselves as teachers. They're proud to be a teacher. And they care about their students. They care about what's happening in their lives. They care about how the students are relating to the subjects. And they do whatever it takes to make sure that every child is learning what they need to learn.
You've been teaching for 19 years. Each class, the dynamics different within the class?
Of course, because every child is different. So you can't ever, you have your basics. You establish your classroom community, and the dynamics of building a community remain the same. But how the children relate and interact with each other in the discussions and the different underlying issues that are taking place in the classroom vary from school year to school year.
You've been teaching for 19 years. What's the biggest thing you teach your students?
I feel the biggest thing I teach my students is to love learning, to be excited about learning, to learn how to learn for themselves, and to go out and find out new information on themselves. The other thing that I really teach my students is I really work with my students on developing their self-esteem, having high opinions of themselves and the people around them. That's what's known as the hidden curriculum. It's not something that you overtly teach, but it's something that every teacher teaches.
For the parents tonight listening, what advice would you give them? How do they teach their child or children self-esteem?
You begin when your child is a baby and they're picking between two different things. You allow them to make choices where they have some control over their lives. You praise them. If there are as many opportunities to say yes to a child as there are to say no, when you try to say yes more often than you say no, you try to build up the positive as opposed to focusing on the negative. If they're very active, instead of saying, "Will you please sit still?" you try to find other outlets where they can learn how to channel their energy appropriately.
We're talking to Kimberly Kiff, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Kimberly Kiff, who's a fifth grade teacher at the Jamison Elementary School in Detroit. Kim, every one of us has had a few special teachers who truly inspired us. What did they have in common? How did they do this?
I think that a teacher that truly inspires a learner, they're someone who's inspired themselves, they're passionate themselves and excited about what they're doing. Every day they enter the classroom with enthusiasm, and the lessons that they impart and the way that they present the lessons and the way they structure their classroom fills their students with enthusiasm and inspires them to take their learning to a new level and to find out more and to grow more. That's what's so exciting about teaching. And there are so many teachers that are inspirational.
If a listener out there tonight has listened to show after show, they would say, "Man, one word I keep hearing is enthusiasm." Can I learn to have enthusiasm? How do I get it? Can I buy it at the 5 and 10 store, etc.?
I think everybody has the ability for enthusiasm. It's doing something that you like to do, that you love to do, and doing it to the best of your ability. And when you're doing that, you're filled with enthusiasm. It's getting up every day, happy for the fact that you're getting up every day and getting to do something that's exciting and fulfilling.
What's the biggest myth about urban children?
A lot of people feel that the urban child is less capable than their suburban counterparts. And that's so not true. They are just as capable of everything that any other child is capable of. It's just, and they're excited about it also. They're excited about their learning and being able to go when they learn something. They're fresh. An urban child is fresh and excited when they are learning, when they feel in control of their learning.
You've been a teacher for 19 years, the last 10 in the Detroit public school system. As you talk to the parents in the urban area, do they want their children to get a good, great education? Is education important to the parents?
Every year I send out beginning of the year surveys, and my parents fill them out, you know, and it helps me understand how they see their child as a learner, and that way I'm able to build on what they perceive as their child's strengths, along with what I see is happening in the classroom. And one of the questions I ask is what are your educational goals for your child? What do you want for them as they continue? And I have never received a survey back that does not say that they want their child to have a good education, they want their child to graduate from high school, they want their child to get a college education and have a successful career. Our parents have extremely high expectations for their children. They value their education.
You grew up in Bloomfield. Out of 97,000 teachers in the state of Michigan, you were named, a couple months ago, the Teacher of the Year. You can teach anywhere. Why do you stay in the Detroit public school system?
Because the Detroit public school system is an evolving system. There are so many exciting things happening in Detroit public schools. The teachers in Detroit are extremely professional. They're continually working towards improving themselves. They do workshops. They take classes. There's a sharing among the teachers in Detroit that is very evident when you talk to them. And Detroit is, the children of Detroit are so exciting to learn. They are so happy to learn. It's nice. It really is. You have the students who want to be learning. You have the parents who want their children to be learning. And you have teachers who are enthusiastic and want the children there.
What are the biggest concerns of the children you teach? What do they worry about? What do they hope for?
They worry a lot about how things are going to be at home sometimes. They have a lot of concerns. They worry about what they're going to do when they, quote, grow up. Today's society is very difficult. It's very difficult for children. And our children are faced with a lot of choices that they need to make beginning at a very young age. So working with them to help them make the right choices is real important.
This state is in a major transformation, Kim. We've relied on automotive jobs for decades where you could make a very good living, your hands and your back, with high school degree. Those days are over. There's a lot of listeners, 35, 40, 45, 50 years old, who are fearful of the future. People tell them they should go back to school and learn new things, but they don't believe they can do it. They don't believe they can learn new things. What would you say to them?
Any learning is something that we do on a daily basis. And I think a lot of the fear is just the mere fear of walking back into a traditional classroom setting. But classrooms in the upper level as well as in the lower level, they're not the way they were when we were young. There's a lot of collaboration and discussion that take place in classrooms. There's a lot of support that's provided to the adult learner, and they have enough, and they are provided with the positive experiences and the support that they need to be successful. Everyone is afraid or leery of different changes that take place, and oftentimes just merely taking that first step is all you need to do to realize that you can conquer your fears and you can be successful and you can maybe find something that you even enjoy more than what you were doing before, and you can develop a passion for it.
When we come back, we'll ask Kimberly Kiff about a program entitled Beyond Basics. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Crisula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Kimberly Kiff, who was recently named Michigan Teacher of the Year, and it's the first time in 21 years that that honor has gone to a Detroit public school teacher. Kim, can you talk about the program Beyond Basics?
Beyond Basics is a phenomenal program that came into our school 2 years ago. First of all, it's a nonprofit organization, and it's staffed by trained volunteers. And they come into the schools, and they provide the students with a phenomenal amount of different services. They're trained, they're affiliated with Mary Grove College, Oakland University, and Wayne State University. One of the services they provide is they provide tutoring to the students, and they come in, and this is research-driven, data-driven instruction that they provide with one-on-one. So they'll come in and they'll work with specific students who need further assistance in their reading abilities. They assess where they are, and they are able to work with them intensively to help them facilitate their growth. Another thing that Beyond Basics does is they have book clubs, both for students and for parents. And that's really exciting. The parents are so excited to come in and take part in these book discussion groups. The junior grade book club that they have with the students really helps facilitate higher order thinking skills and encourages the children to learn how to share more and discuss more and to think and reason more critically when they're reading. One of the most exciting things that I think they do is they have a publishing center, and the students, they go to the publishing center with a piece of writing that they have done, and they receive assistance in editing that work and refining it to make it stronger. They pick out a cover for the book, and then they get the book back, and their reading and writing has just blossomed because of that. I have students that write an ongoing serial books where they have five or six volumes to their story, and each book picks up where the last book left off. And the children in our school, when they have free time, they spend it writing. And they spend it looking at their writing and reviewing with each other and editing each other's writing and giving strong direction to it. Beyond Basics published over 4,000 books in schools this year alone. And that says a lot. That's 4,000 books that children wrote that they take home, they illustrate. They are so proud. It gives them such a feeling of ownership and accomplishment. I've never had a child say they wanted to be an author. But I have children say that, no, they want to be an author. I have a couple that wanted to be publishers. One of my students has decided, no, they're going to be an illustrator. And he did illustrations for other students' work because they felt that his illustrations were better than the ones they were doing. It's an exciting program.
We're talking to Kimberly Kiff, And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're with Kimberly Kiff, a third-generation teacher, and by the way, she has a daughter in the studio tonight who's the fourth-generation teacher. Kim, you become the 2006-2007 Michigan Teacher of the Year, and as a reward, for the next year, you don't get to teach. For the next year, you're going to work with the Michigan Department of Education, State Board of Education. You're going to be the voice of Michigan's teachers. You're also having a non-voting seat at the State Board of Education table. What do you hope to achieve this next year?
I hope to provide a face to legislatures and policymakers of teachers, and to talk about the different things that are going on in classrooms. Another one of the really exciting things that I will be doing is I'm going to be able to travel around the state. I'm going to be meeting with novice teachers, and I'm going to be meeting with pre-service teachers and talking to them about education and about how education is such an exciting field. And I'm really looking forward to that, looking forward to meeting teachers from around the state, because our state is full of so many excellent teachers. And I'll be able to come back to Detroit and come back to Lansing and share some of the phenomenal things that are going on everywhere in the state of Michigan.
When you're at the table of the State Board of Education, even though you have a non-voting seat, what will you hope to get across to that table?
I really want to get across to the table. Michigan is on the right track with the new high school standards that are placed, the graduation requirements. But we need to go down to the other end of the spectrum, and we need to do the things that are necessary to make the students able to achieve and graduate from high school with the new requirements. I want to encourage early childhood education around the state. The importance of having a full day kindergarten, it's imperative. We need to have all of the children entering school on the right path, on the same level. We're requiring more and more of our students, and so we need to have them in school all day long so we can provide them with the different things that they need in order to meet those things. They're not going to be able to do calculus if they're already behind in being able to count and with number recognition. You can only catch up so far every year. There's a new Senate bill that's before the legislature right now that was put in by Senator Irma Clark Coleman. It's Bill 1306. And what this bill is doing is it's mandating all children who turn 5 before December 1st would attend, be enrolled in a full-day kindergarten. And that's important. We need to have that in Michigan to bring Michigan, to make us the premier state educationally. We've started, and now we need to finish.
I think our listeners are just assuming that every child goes to kindergarten.
Kindergarten isn't mandatory in the state of Michigan. Kindergarten is voluntary. And there are some districts where all of their children, they attend kindergarten, and a lot of those children have already been to preschool programs. Then there are other districts in the state where the children do not attend kindergarten. They enter school for the first time as first graders. So those children are coming in behind the ball. By having mandatory kindergarten, every child is coming in, we're having equity, and we're ensuring equity in the educational system for everyone.
Why don't we have that today? In the suburbs, it seems to me every child attends kindergarten, even if it's not mandatory in the state. Why don't we have it in the city of Detroit?
I don't know that it's just the city of Detroit. I think this also takes place in other urban areas. I know it takes place in rural areas as well. There are many complex factors that affect whether or not a child goes to school as a preschooler or kindergartner or enters for the first time as a first grader. By making it mandatory, we're taking out all of those contributing factors that are keeping them out of school. And the parents are in compliance, and so the children will be there.
A lot of our listeners tonight have a child or children who wants to quit school. School is not important to them. What advice would you give to the parent?
You need to find what is important. A lot of students are interested. They're not so much interested in the traditional educational format, but they're more interested in music or they're more interested in sports. But they need to understand, and the parent needs to help guide them to see that without the hard work and the not so fun things of education, their chances of achieving in their desired profession are much less as they go along. It's sometimes leaving school appears to be the easy way to go. And there are numerous groups there where there are speakers, and you can contact people to talk to children, to encourage them to remain in school. I know a lot of my parents that left school, they truly, and that's the one thing that they say over and over again to their children, look at this is where I made my mistake. I already did this. So this is why you are not going to make this mistake.
If you were in front of 20, 14, or 15 year, 16 year old kids that have dropped out in a room, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that it's important. That taking care of their education now is going to ensure them an easier life as they get older. I would tell them that there are many alternate programs offered. Detroit has countless programs where they can go back into school, receive the necessary support, and be able to achieve and get their high school diploma. We need to really encourage our children to stay in school. Our economy isn't the way it used to be. You can't go out anymore and leave school and go to work in the factory and make a good living for your children and be able to have any kind of success at all. You have to have at least your high school diploma, or you're just not going to make it. There aren't any careers out there. All of those jobs are in other countries.
We're talking to Kimberly Kiff. When we come back, we'll ask her about at-risk students and how she's tried to address those. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're talking to Kimberly Kiff. Kim, through the years, you've had a number of at-risk students. How did you challenge and motivate those people? What did you do?
Well, first of all, I can't remember if it was a book or if it was an article, but they referred to, and I don't remember who wrote it right now, they referred to the at-risk student as the at-promise student. And that has always been, that's just so much, it's so much more positive to me. It conveys a better message, because that is truly what these children are. They're at promise. There are circumstances that are preventing at this point their optimal learning. And so what you do is you take and you find where the student is, where they're functioning comfortably, and you build on their strengths and scaffold their lessons slowly, like a staircase, where they experience successes, and each success leads to further successes. You give them encouragement and support. You find out what they like, what they're enthusiastic about, and you make that the focus of their lessons. You help them feel in control of their lives and in the direction that they're taking in the classroom.
Can you talk about the Comer, C-O-M-E-R, model that's used at Jamison Elementary?
Comer is from out of Yale, and there are many schools in Detroit that are based on the Comer model. It begins with, there are three underlying principles: consensus, collaboration, and no fault. The entire school community works together, taking the child from where they are and moves them forward to where they need to be. Lessons are structured and around their every aspect of their being, their social, emotional, their home life, their physical needs. All of that takes into play in the lesson design and direction, in the way that we work with our students and our parents. Comer School has a very strong parent component. Parents are always in a Comer School. They're volunteering or they're participating in different parent groups and helping the school grow stronger. And research has shown that parents that are involved in child's education, those children tend to do better in school. Comer was developed for use with the, quote, at-risk student and at-risk communities. And it's a wonderful model to follow. It really encourages success. It encourages students to have strong self-concept and strong self-esteem and to go forward, as opposed to looking back at what should have been. Go forward and make new choices.
What advice would you give to someone considering becoming a teacher?
I would tell them that they are entering into one of the most exciting professions that they could possibly choose, that there are so many different opportunities for growth as individuals, let alone as educators, that it's a career where you're constantly encouraged to keep on learning, where you constantly self-reflect and examine yourself and reach inside yourself for things to make yourself better and to make your students better. I truly do not feel that there is a more important profession that anyone could choose. It isn't a 9-to-5 job, but I don't know anyone who goes into education that even expects it to be that. And that's one of the things that's so exciting about it, is it's what was, there was a slogan, it's not just a job. And that's what teaching is. It's not a job. It's a lifestyle.
What role has faith played in your life?
Faith is integral to my life, it's part of who I am, and it's how I live my life and how I live my classroom, and it's central to everything that I do. Without faith, I would have a hard time, I think, sometimes facing some of the things that everyone has to face every day.
What are you the proudest of?
I'm proudest of my children. I have two daughters. My oldest one's a teacher, and she's doing well, and my youngest one will be starting her senior year in high school. They're both independent and self-sufficient, and I think that's very important, especially for girls today. They know what they want, and they know the direction that they're going in, and they're determined to reach that. I think that's central.
Your older daughter that's the teacher already, when she hits the 20-year mark of teaching, how will the job change? What evolution will there be?
That's very hard to say because teaching has evolved so much in the past 20 years. Technology, I can't even imagine the different technological things that are going to be taking place. I mean, now I have little clickers where my students can click in answers and I can get immediate results. So what, in 20 years, it's mind-boggling what could be taking place. But I do know that there will be classrooms because, as I said before, the hidden curriculum of education is very important. And it's in the classrooms that students learn how to relate to each other, that students learn how to respect each other's differences, that students learn how to make connections and develop empathy and learn how to reach inside themselves and help other people.
What dreams or goals do you still have, Kim?
I still want to, my dreams are, I still want to keep on teaching. I love teaching. I want to continue to be a good teacher. I want to grow as much as I can. I would love to have, That's mainly it. I just want to continue to do the best that I can and reach as many children as I can.
Is the future of Detroit positive?
Oh, the future of Detroit is very positive. You know, you look at the changes that have taken place in the city from before the Super Bowl up to now, and the changes that are taking place in Detroit public schools from long before the Super Bowl. We have designed our curriculum to meet the needs of the student who is transient and may need to move from one school to another school so they don't lose. Pretty much every classroom is about where the other one is. They don't lose instructional time. They're constantly bringing in new methods to help our children achieve more.
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Go to school every day. Try their best. And enjoy their learning. It's a great time.
Kimberly Kiff, 97,000 teachers in the state. What a great honor to be chosen. And what a great spokesperson.
Thank you very much. But there are thousands of teachers in the state of Michigan that I know of that are even superior to the things that I do.
Our guest next Sunday will be the National Collegiate Basketball Coach of the Year 4 times, Tom Izzo. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.